guys, it's been a while. This is Josh here. Sam is out of the studio right now, so we're kind of picking back up and about to start rolling through things, especially get going through festival. We're hoping to be able to do a bunch of cool stuff there. So it's been a little bit of a delay between episodes, actually like a 6 week, 8 week delay. Sam and I have been doing some personal stuff, personal journey stuff. So it's always good to do stuff like this. So this was the last episode Sam and I were working on before we kind of did a break. And Sam wanted to talk about superheroes and different ones. And Sam was talking about this character named Apache. And so, Sam, tell me a little about Apache.
Now, what I remember of Apache Chief, he was in the cartoon. I think it might have been the Justice League cartoon where they went around stomping out, I guess, the bad guys. And what I noticed about Apache Chief, if you remember, he always had the headband and he had a vest on. And his power was to get bigger. And so it made me wonder, well, is Apache Chief a giant in disguise? Or is he a connecting with his higher self whenever he squashes the bad guys to grow bigger? Because there's a story about, I think it's the fourth avatar of Vishnu. He's a dwarf. And he shows up in the kingdom and he pleases the king, and the king's going to give him three feet of land wherever he can step. And at that point, Vishnu turns into a giant and he steps over the whole world. And anyway, and that just made me wonder if that's kind of where Apache Chief came from. And you told me that no, he said a nuckshuck or something and became bigger. And that rang a bell. But no, he wasn't my favorite. I just was thinking about him. I don't really know a whole lot about the superhero universe, but my favorite from the comic books was Rogue. I just always liked Rogue, mostly because she had, I liked her hair, and she had the power to use other powers, but not for very long. And like, I thought she had a pretty good story, because then she also, by doing that, she had to keep herself closed off from everybody. Otherwise, she'd take their powers and they'd die. And she could fly. Oh, that always appealed to me, too. But that was my favorite, was Rogue.
Yeah, Sam, Rogue was just a mutant. She was a part of the X-Force, X-Men genre kind of thing. She was Marvel Comics. She was known for having the streak of like a grayish white in her hair. If anything, you probably just had a crush on her. You probably got a thing for those flying women. Well, that was a little bit of a delay laughter there, right? I thought it was funny. Since I am the technical editor right now, we get to add stuff like that, so laugh at my jokes. Okay, anyway, so back to superheroes. There's actually quite a few. Did a little bit of research. So if you got a pen and paper, eventually I'll try to put these in the show notes in case you want to look them up. But anyways, there's a guy named called Daniel Brightfeather. He's part Cherokee, part Navajo. He's also one by the name Plainsman. There's Rain Fallen, who's a Hopi Pueblo, and Snake Standin, who's Hopi Pueblo, and they were part of a team called the Peace Party out of the Blue Corn Comics. Champion Comics had a character named Johnny Fox. He's a Seminole tribe. Dark Horse Comics, they had a Navajo vampire slayer named Nai Nazakani, and he was in the Buffyverse and Tales of the Slayer. You know, those are some really very independent comics that you'd be lucky to find, be truthful to you. You're going to have to be in the right place. And be honest with you, if bluecorncomics.com still exists, you might be able to find the Rainfall and Snake Standin characters. So So let's roll over to DC Comics. The first one to start off with is the Apache Chief, which we talked about earlier. And he was a member of the Super Friends. All right, there's Urak, there's Aztec, there's Black Condor, there's Butcher, Captain Fear, Captain Thunder. They had a Chief Crazy Horse. They had a Chindi, the Tronos, a Corona, not the virus. They had Dawnstar, who was also a Legion Superheroes. They had Eagle Free, they had Equinox, who was a Canadian Cree. They had Flying Fox, Hawk, Koryak, who was half Inuit, Aquaman's son. They had the Man of Bats. They had Manitou Dawn, Manitou Raven, Mirage, Night Eagle, Owl Woman, Powwow Smith, that's the original name, Rain in the Face, Raven Red, Redbird. He was the Batman sidekick that was a version of Robin in the Blue, the Gray, and the Bat. Rust Tin Clouds, they had a guy named Senecal. Well, that's a unique name, right? Not really. That's the name of a tribe, so they didn't go too far on that one. Sky Alchesi, Strongbow. He was a Western hero. Super Chief. Tall Tree, Thomas Kamoku. Timber, he was a member of the Mortal Men. He was half Minimi. Wildstar, Wise Owl, Willpower, Wendy, Yawara. And that was Yawara was part of Aquaman's team and the others. Okay, so that's just the DC comics. Now we're going to switch over to Vertigo comics, which had Ghost Dancer and White Buffalo Woman. And they're in a series called The Sandman. Now we flip over to Wildstorm comics. Vertigo and Wildstorm are very, they're independent, but they're some of the more easy to find independent. They're more mainstream, not mainstream independent, but they're easier to find independent comics. Wildstorm, there's Blackbird, Comanche, Crossbones, Joe the Indian. And that Crossbones is not to be confused with Crossbones from the Marvel Universe. This Crossbones was an Apache in a comic series he was in. Was called Wetworks. There's Joe the Indian. Who'd guess that guy was Indian, right? Joe the Indian. There's Pilgrim. There's another Rainmaker, and there's a Red Bird, another Red Bird. But this Red Bird has a space between the name, as in the DC Comics was just Red Bird. This is Red Bird. All right. GoTooth Productions. So there's some comics. GoTooth Productions. This right here sounds like I need to do a little bit more research on it, but they had this thing called The Most Interesting Man on the Res. They had Dallas GoTooth, Whitney Recountray the second, Reggie Rocket Taken Alive, and Cyril Chucky Archambault. And the series was called The Most Interesting Man on the Res. Well, they never met Sam. All right. Hexagon. They had Darkwing, Ozark, Plume Rogue. Not Rogue Rogue, but Plume Rogue, and Rakar. Basically, these were all Lakota superheroes right here. I've never heard of Hexagon. Image Comics had a Barbaric, Broad Arrow, Ian Nottingham, Kodiak, Night Eagle, Ripclaw, Stalking Wolf. Image is kind of like Vertigo and Wildstorm. All right, now we get to Marvel Comics. American Avenger, who was Pyke, American Eagle, Black Crow, Centurius of the Firm, Kusik, Crusader X, which was the Earth 2122 version of Captain Britain, but is Native American. So basically, that's like a Native version of Captain America as well. Danielle Moonstar was a New Mutant, Cheyenne, Doot. There's Echo, Eliza Meza, Fire Eyes, Forge, High Note of the Young Gods, Moonstalker, Naze, Portal, Private J. Little Bear. Oh, that's part of the Leatherneck Raiders. And that was one of the first series of comics. It had Nick Fury. That's where you got to start in if you're familiar at all with Marvel Comics. There's Puma. There's Red Warrior. Red Wolf, Wild Run. Red Wolf, Johnny Wakely. Red Wolf, who's Thomas Thunderhead. Red Wolf, which was a William Talltree. There's a Red Zeppelin. Red Zeppelin. Wow. And he's a wrestler also. I'm going to have to look that guy up. Red Stone, Ringo Kid, Risk, Running Fish, Scalp Hunter, The Shaman. I've been waiting for a Shaman, right, haven't you? Silver Fox, Sitting Bullseye, Snowbird, Spirit Iron Knife, Talisman, Talon, Thunderbird, T-Bird, Tomorrowhawk, Venus, Warpath, Werehawk, Witchwoman, White Wingfoot, Zachary Moonhunter. Okay, there's a comics called Red Cloud Comics, which had Jake Red Cloud, so he was the star of the comics. Super Indian Comics had a hero called Super Indian. Oh, there's a bunch of independents. I'm just going to kind of stop it there. So I could go on and on because I haven't hit newspapers, radio, television, video games, or film. These were just comics out of comic books. And you've seen there's a underlying theme of a label. So all these superheroes are different. They all have a label. Even Native American superheroes kind of have a label. And I got a pretty cool set at the house. It was actually for Native American or Indigenous Month 2 years ago. Marvel did a cover series like Spider-Man, Hulk, but they were all Native American. It's pretty cool. It fits together kind of like a little puzzle in my mind. So I've been meaning to frame those. And that's really about it on superheroes. I mean, you can just keep going on and on. But let's just take a quick little break right here in case you need to get something to drink or something, and we'll be right back. Sam, so here's one more question for you. Do you think Nana Bozo is a superhero? And also, what do you think about, it's a two-part question, I guess, the trickster Cocopelli? Is he also considered a superhero tied in mythology? Is this like where we're at on this side of the globe? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I definitely think that Nana Bojo had special powers that people may associate with superheroes nowadays. He had the ability to shapeshift, and so that's definitely a superhero power. But I don't necessarily think of him in that same pantheon. I tend to think of Nana Bojo in a different, kind of in a different light than I would some of the superheroes. I'd put them in there in the same group with like Zeus and Mercury, and put them on that pantheon. But I do kind of think it has something to do with the way that we look at nature. But with Nana Bojo, he had such interactions with nature. He wasn't always a trickster, because he wasn't always tricking people. A lot of times he was out there helping fight their battles. And so he is a different type of character. Kind of a hero. But he also had his foibles. And as far as Cocopelli goes, I don't know as much about Cocopelli. But I associate it really similar with Pan. There are a lot of things, the flute player. And there are a lot of things about Cocopelli that are really quite interesting. The stories from the Southwest that I always enjoyed were the coyote stories. And they can get pretty colorful. And so there are some stories about Cocopelli that are a lot more colorful than others. And this notion that he's playing his flute to bring about creation is sort of what he's associated with in fertility. And that is a common theme around the world. The one that most surprised me is a story that has to do in Egypt with Anubis, that said Anubis was actually playing with himself, and that caused the creation of this world. And so it's you know, fertility and creation, and I think that's a lot what Cocopelli has to do with. One other thing that's strange is they've unearthed a really old temple complex over in Turkey, and it's called Göbekli Tepe. And that just reminds me a lot of Kocapeli, those the way that the vowels are spaced out and the enunciation of it. But they're all the way across from the other side of the world, and sometimes whenever I see similarities like that, I just take note. But may not necessarily be anything or lead to anything. Anyway, that's the best I can say on that.
Sam, you hit me with a surprise there. Was not expecting the words to be playing with himself to create the world out of that little question, but that's how we got there. So anyway, so I'll give you the 9 second clap for that. All right, I am gonna end this episode with a little story about Nanobozo and the Muskrat. Then I'll tell about the Kokopelli. And So we'll end things today. So, Nanobozo and the Muskrat. This is a Ojibwe legend. Many, many years ago, there was a terrible flood. The waters rose high, higher, high. So high that Nanobozo was forced to look for shelter on a higher ground. He remembered a high hill he knew, and he took refuge there. Growing on top of this hill was a tall tree, and Nanobozo realized that the waters kept rising, so he climbed to the top of that tree. Then the waters reached him where he was sitting. Now, we all must remember that Nanobozo was very special and he had unique powers. And one of the things was he could talk to all living beings. So when the water reached him, Nanobozo just asked the tree to stretch and grow taller. The tree did. Nanobozo asked the tree to do this 4 times, and each time the tree grew taller and taller, but the water continued to rise, and each time would go to where Nanobozo sat. And right about this time, Nanobozo got worried. He called to an animal brother and said, "Hey, we must work together. If we don't do something now, there'll be no more earth." The animals gathered together, swimming around the trees where Nanobozo sat. One by one, Nanobozo told each one, the duck, the beaver, and all the animals, to dive in the water and see how deep it was. And each took his turn, but never returned because they drowned. Eventually, a muskrat came swimming along. Nanobozo said, "Hey, will you do me a favor?" "Certainly," said the muskrat. "What is it?" He goes, "Will you go down the bottom and get me some earth?" The muskrat went down and was gone a long time. Finally, his body floated to the surface. Nanobozo, using a branch, pulled him out of the water. The muskrat looked dead, but Nanobozo blew him up until he came to life. And when he opened the muskrat's paw, he found a few grains of sand. When Nanobozo threw these on the water, earth appeared. Nanobozo kept working, and the earth became bigger and bigger. When he felt that the earth might be big enough, Nanobozo told a young fox to run around and see how big it was. The fox was gone a very long time, and he returned as an old fox. Just to make sure there had not been a mistake, Nanobozo told a young wolf to roam around the world. When that wolf returned, it was an old wolf. It was then that Nanobozo knew for certain that the earth was large enough. Oh, that's a very interesting flood story. The first time I actually heard that one, as I read it. All right, now let's go to the legend of Kokopelli. He's been tons of Native American stories over thousands of years. Some believe that his humpback evolved from a sack that was slung over his shoulders that caused his back to bend. In Pueblo, he said he carried seeds, babies, and blankets in his hump and offered them to the maidens of the village. He also wandered with sacks of songs on his back and traded those old songs for new songs. In the Navajo, his hump was full of clouds, seeds, and rainbows. He was a minor god of hope and plenty and brought forth seeds and food to the people. The Hopi believed Kokopelli's hump carried deerskins, shirts, and moccasins, which he used to barter for brides or babies to give to the young women of the village. Hopi also believed that the Kokopelli carried all the seeds of the world and he scattered to the ground every spring. Then Asazi saw Kokopelli as a fertility spirit during the corn season. If Kokopelli came, there would be a lot of crop. The Zuni said he was a rain god and spiritual priest with healing powers. Some said that he carried songs on his back while his flute playing brought happiness and joy. He's always welcome. Some also said he was a trickster, and he had tricked the most beautiful girls to having you know, with him. Some call this as a release valve, I guess, right? So, but mostly is the corn scene. When I was saying nothing to that was corn. I listened to myself all go and realized I cut myself off. But yeah, corn is a big thing. But anyways, Bama P guys, thanks for listening. We will see everybody hopefully soon. Sam and I will be having a sesh day where we're going to record a bunch of stuff. I just haven't told them yet. Anyways, thanks for listening. And we will be back sooner than you expect. Bama P.